Well, as we come to the preaching of God's word this morning, we come to Jonah chapter 3. Again, this is Jonah chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 1 to 4. Hear now the living word of God, Jonah 3, 1 to 4. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Noah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." May the Lord bless the reading and also the preaching of his word. As we've come to these verses this morning, as we've recount and we think back on where we have been in the book of Jonah so far, where in chapter 1, God originally calls Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah instead arises and he flees away from the presence of the Lord. The Lord brings a great storm upon the sea, and Jonah is cast overboard, and a great fish, is called upon to swallow Jonah. And after 3 days, Jonah is humbled and he repents. He confesses to the Lord and is then vomited out onto dry land. So then we come to chapter 3. And now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." These verses can give us, as God's people, great comfort. Because in these verses, what we have is the Lord, after his servant had turned away from him, after his servant had rebelled against him and sinned against him, and yet through God's working came to humble repentance, we see here the Lord using his servant once again. And this can give us encouragement as we face our own battles and our own struggles and our own temptations, that we might stumble and we might fall from time to time, but yet that does not, by God's grace, mean that the Lord will reject us, that the Lord will throw us aside as one who is useless and one who is no longer of value to him. For in Christ, by God's grace, we are his children. And as a loving father, he pities us. He uses us. He works in us. And he accomplishes his will in and through us. And so, brothers and sisters, as we look at these verses this morning, my hope is that we will all take great comfort in knowing that because of God's grace, past failure does not make us useless. To take comfort that because of God's grace, past failure does not make us useless. Now, as we consider this application, we'll be looking at it in 3 points. And first of all, the Lord reinstates his servant. We see in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying," it's nearly word for word from Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying." Now, what we have here is God reinstating his servant. God showing his love and his grace towards his prophet and using him for the purpose to which he has called him. Now, we see a similar action of God as we consider John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, the close of John's gospel, we read these verses as disciples decide to go out and they cast their nets to fish And yet as they come back, they see that Jesus is on the beach. And as they begin having a meal together, we read in verse 15, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish.' This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Now, as we consider these verses in John, you know, as we have the account and the history of the final days leading up to Jesus' death upon the cross, he prophesied and told Peter that he would deny him three times before the rooster crowed. And we have recorded for us that despite Peter's very strong stance that even if he were to die with Jesus, he would not in any way deny him. But yet, as we have recorded for us, Jesus correctly prophesied, and Peter did deny Jesus three times before the rooster crowed. We have here then, after Jesus has been raised from the dead, and as Jesus appeared to his disciples and they shared a meal together early in the morning on the beach, eating some fish, that Jesus here restores Peter. He reinstates him. And this is something that Jesus also prophesied in Peter's case. That after those days, after he had denied him, that he would strengthen the brothers after he was restored. You know, as we consider Jesus in this gentle ministry to Peter, in the presence of other disciples, restoring him, we also have that as something that Jesus did, or God did, to Jonah, his servant, in the simple words, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you.'" We have here what we might call the forgetfulness of God. And what we mean by that is shown for us in Psalm 103. In Psalm 103, verses 8 to 14, we read these words: "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." Now, as we consider what we might call the forgetfulness of God regarding our sins, we find it here in verse 12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." Scriptures also talk about God not remembering our sins and iniquities any longer in Jeremiah chapter 31. This is a choice that God makes. It's not a forgetfulness, as my family would tell you stories of how I can easily forget things as my mind is focused on other stuff. God is not forgetful in this way. It is a purposeful not remembering our sins and our transgressions. It is removing them as far away from us as the east is from the west. And if we were to go east and keep going east, we would never meet up with west. We would keep going east. We would circle the globe and we would keep going east. East and west never meet. And that is how far God has placed our sins from us. Now, this isn't just simply a setting aside of our sin because of what he wants to do. It's a setting aside of our sin because they have been dealt with, because they have been paid for. He is both just and the justifier. It would be unjust of God to not punish sin, but our sins are punished and dealt with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so by his grace, through faith in Jesus alone, God has dealt with our sins, and so he remembers our sins no longer. He places them as far from us as the east is from the west. And we see this grace in Jonah's life here, as we see it in Peter's life. This is the same grace that is shown to us, that by his grace, through humble repentance, the Lord uses us out of his love and mercy. Brothers and sisters, as we consider our sins that have been dealt with in Christ, the only ones who remember them are Satan and us. We are the ones who hold on to our past sins. We are the ones who have a death grip on them, who tell ourselves, how could God love such a one as me? And the evil one is at work, continually bringing to mind those things and ways in which we have failed the Lord. But God's response is this: that this one is mine. Jesus says, I have died for this one. My blood covers this one. And he stands at our defense. So remember, brothers and sisters, that God does have use for all of his children, even after we have stumbled and we have fallen. He, by his grace, will restore us and continue to use us for his glory. Now, we also see in these verses, in verse 2, that the Lord is not only kind of reinstating Jonah as he did in verse 1, but he's also recommissioning him. We see that in Peter's life, as Jesus three times, he asked Peter, if do you love me? And after Peter answers, Lord, you know that I love you, he commissions him. He gives him work to do. He says, feed my sheep. Well, here in Jonah chapter 3, as in verse 2, we read, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. As God is a loving father, and as Psalm 103 shows us, that he is as a father who pities us, we could look at this as almost God saying to Jonah, now, son, do what I tell you and only what I tell you. Go, preach the message that I give you. Now, as we consider Jesus in his ministry, in John chapter 14, verse 10, Jesus says of himself that what he came and proclaimed was given to him by the Father. He came to do what the Father wanted him to do in the Father's will. And that is the message that Jesus proclaimed. It was his Father's will, and as he and the Father are one, it was his will. It was God, the triune God's will. And that is what God requires of you and me, to proclaim his message. He's given us his word, he's given us his gospel, and he calls us to go and to proclaim it, to live it, and to speak it. Now, as I mentioned, the only ones who remember our past failures are ourselves and the evil one, our great enemy, Satan. And one of the most crippling weapons that Satan has against God's people is to bring to mind how we fail the Lord, And to make it so overwhelming, we cry out as the psalmist does, that my sins and my transgressions overwhelm me as a flood. And it brings great heartache and discouragement. It makes us, at times, so discouraged that we don't feel like doing anything at all. But in those moments, what we are called to do, brothers and sisters, is to not rest in what the evil one may be whispering in our ear or our own wicked flesh may be holding on to, but to instead listen to what God tells us. To listen what God promises us, that we are his children, that our sins have been dealt with, that although we have stumbled, we have fallen, he is gracious and he is merciful, and he desires to show his grace and love to his people. That if we are in the hands of God, that neither height nor depth nor anything on the face of this earth and all of God's creation will be able to take us out of his loving hands as we are in Christ. And something that we need to remember in all of these things is that our great enemy, the evil one, is still just a creature, even though he is very powerful. And we need to remember that he is, though powerful, just a creature. Because as we have given God praise and adoration for the fact that he is all-powerful, that no matter how powerful our enemy is, he is nothing compared to the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. At a moment's notice, God could simply blow on him and he would disappear if God so desired. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember that God is on our side. He is our Father. And he's not as a father, an earthly father that might fail in various ways. He is the perfect Father who loves us and pities us. Now, as we consider the message that Jonah gives or is given, we read, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." It is a message, as we read then down in verse 4, as Jonah arrives in Nineveh, he's walking through the city, he begins crying out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." This seems like a very simple message, and it's also probably not a message that most evangelistic methodologies would give us. Jonah still does not have a heart for the city of Nineveh as God does. Jonah is also one who, as he's been in the belly of a fish for 3 days, that the various natural processes of digestion in that fish have already probably started taking its toll on him, affecting him in various ways. He probably didn't look all that great. But here he is, this man that these Ninevites didn't know, just walking around, crying out, "Yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown." This is the message that God had given Jonah. And sometimes as we consider the message that God has given us, our world also tells us that it's unloving, that it's hostile, that it's something that needs to be softened. But really, the message of the gospel is simply this, that we are to repent or perish at its very core. We are to repent, turn to the Lord, seek forgiveness of our sins, or perish. Turn to the Lord or die. That is the message that we have been given. Now, that's it in its simplicity. As we consider the ways in which we are called to tell of the glories of God and his majesty, and the ways in which the gospel really shows how loving and merciful our God is, The fact that we cannot attain to the perfection that God requires. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And God in His mercy came, was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect life, fulfilling His law, and then died in our place for us. He was raised from the dead. He was ascended on high and rules and governs. You see, that's not a hateful message at all. That's a wonderful, beautiful message. At times, if we really stop and think about it, we begin to think, is this really? I mean, this seems too good to be true. God, in His mercy, has done the work for us. And He, in His grace, works in us that we might know and we might believe. And when we hear that message, we love it. We desire to hear it again. And we, as His people, rejoice in that message. But brothers and sisters, that's because of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. For those who are opposed to Christ, that wonderful, beautiful message that God has given us of repentance, of salvation in Christ, it's foolishness. It's something to laugh at, to ridicule. It even goes so far as some would despise it. And that's what we must consider, brothers and sisters. Do we love that message? Or do we despise that message? If you despise that message, it is a warning that the Lord is calling you to repent of and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, although the message may offend, let us make sure that we are not the reason for the offense. And let us proclaim faithfully the wonderful news, the gospel that God has given us to proclaim in Christ. We see here in Jonah being recommissioned. He's been given yet another message. He's been reinstated to his office. He's been recommissioned to go and to proclaim. And in that we see God's grace displayed in Jonah's life. And we need to remember, brothers and sisters, that this is the same gracious God that is at work in us. And that brings us to our third point. Jonah responds to God's grace with obedience. So as we consider the grace that God has just shown His servant, what is Jonah's response? Well, this time Jonah arises and he goes to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. His response to God's amazing, wonderful, overpowering grace is to obey. It is to follow what God has said. Now, as we consider, it's important for us to remember this pattern that we see here in these verses. Jonah is not put forward as one who obeys God and then God uses him. But we see here is God shows His grace to Jonah. Shows His love, His mercy to Jonah, and then out of a response to that love, to that grace, Jonah is obedient. We must not think that that's because Jonah all of a sudden is this great and wonderful man, but it is a result of God's continual work in him. And we need to remember as we approach God that we do not come to God on our own merits and our own goodness and our own terms. God is the one who brings us to Him. And God is the one who uses us as He desires for His own good and wonderful purposes. And as we consider our own obedience that we are called to obey the Lord and what He has told us to do, our obedience is not one of which we make God love us more or we somehow cause Him to approve of us in some way. But the pattern is, as we see it here, that God shows His love to us. And out of thankfulness and a response to God in His grace and His love, we show our love to Him by our obedience. This is what Jesus says to His disciples. If you love me, you will obey my commands. It's how we show our love to God. It's how, and this is how the commands of God become something that aren't burdensome. This is why Jesus could truly say, "Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light." The commands of God for those who love him are not a burden, as we, out of thankfulness and of love for him, seek to do what he has called us to do. Now, as we consider what Jonah does here, and he cries out, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." I mean, first of all, this city, we're shown how massive and what a great city Nineveh is in this day. We're told here it's a 3 days' journey in extent and walking around the city. This was the capital of the world power in that day. And God, has it, as the book closes, he shows his love and his concern even for Nineveh, and talking about all the people in it and those who aren't of an age yet, where they even know their right hand from their left. And then all of the livestock he even mentions. It was a great and powerful city. And it gives us hope that God does have a concern for world powers in this way. He does desire those nations of the earth to come to repentance and bow their knee before him. He does desire to show good to his creatures. Now, it doesn't mean that all of his creatures, all humanity, will be saved through the goodness and kindness that God shows them, but it doesn't negate the fact that God does show goodness to both the righteous and the unjust. As we consider Jonah and his message, it is a message of grace. Despite what it might look like on the surface, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown," it is a gracious message because of the fact that it is a warning. As God calls Ezekiel to go and to be a prophet to the people, he calls him to be a watchman on a watchtower. He tells him, "It is your job, Ezekiel, to go and to proclaim this message of warning as a watchman would on a watchtower, see an enemy approaching and see destruction coming, and would cry out to the citizens of the city to run to safety." Now, how they respond to that message is on their own hand, but the message must be proclaimed. In the same way, Jonah here is crying out to the city a warning of destruction that is coming. And this is what we are called to do, brothers and sisters. To go and to live and to proclaim this message that God has given. This message of the gospel. For in the gospel is a warning to repent, to turn from our sin. And what we see in these verses here is a reminder that despite how we might stumble and fall from time to time, God is still our Heavenly Father. He still shows us love and grace and mercy. And he calls us to turn to him, to repent of our sins. And it does by no means mean that we are not useful to him. In his grace, God uses us despite our faults, despite our failures. And what we can learn from Jonah is how God will not glorify us in these times, but he does these things to glorify himself. And he does these things that we might be more and a more effectual tool for his work. But let us know and understand that it is not our work, it is his. It is his grace, it is his love, because God is a God who loves us and is gracious to us. Past failures do not make us useless. But let us not presume upon his grace, but instead take comfort that if we do stumble and we do fall, that we have an advocate with the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us come to him and fall upon his grace and in his mercy, and have him use us once again to glorify himself. Amen. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your love and grace that you show us, and may we remember at all times that you are our loving Heavenly Father. And Lord, there will be times when we stumble and we fall, and may we, Lord, remember in those moments to come to you, to rest on your grace in Christ. But Lord, may you in your mercy grant us true repentance and a change of heart. May you, Lord, cause us to grow more like our Lord Jesus Christ, forsaking sin and becoming more like him. But Lord, we know that this work of you is lifelong until you come again. And may you, our gracious Lord, accomplish your mighty will in us. And may you use us despite our faults and our failures to glorify your name and to build up our brothers and sisters here. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.